You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We are back. We've had a lot of fun today. A lot of different topics. Plenty of time for you to jump on board. A couple of really great guests, Thad Billard and Tim Couch, as we continue to roll on here on a Tuesday. Hunter is up next. Hello, Hunter.
Hi, Paul. Roll Tide.
Hunter, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I like that name, though. Is it Hunter Green? Is that the what you always hear?
Yeah.
Hunter no-show right there. Special K is up next.
Okay, there you go.
Hello, Special K.
Oh, hey, you. Okay, you're there. Okay.
No, thank you for telling me.
Hey, I'm a fit. Well, I didn't know. I'm a 15-time caller. I'm the guy that turned down the dinner date with Liz Taylor and went to college with Nick Saban at Kent State.
And by the way, I know you've answered this question 100 times, but nobody in their right mind would turn down a date with Elizabeth Taylor back in the day. I don't care if you had to host the Oscar that night. You should have gone.
Paul, I had a 19-hour telethon to do in Lexington, Kentucky. That's why I'm a big Blue fan.
Somebody could have filled in for at least an hour or two.
I was the headliner for 19 hours.
You could have gotten the goofy weather guy.
We raised $500,000.
Well, that's
that
wonderful.
This was back in 85.
You could have told your grandchildren you had a date with Elizabeth Taylor.
No, I think it's better than I turned it down.
No, I mean,
she's beautiful. You know she's only 4'11", right?
By the way, what year was this, if I could get some context?
85. I think 85.
Now, I don't mean to be critical of the dead, but by 85, Elizabeth was already slipping.
No, she was beautiful. Her eyes were beautiful.
Wasn't that the John Warner period?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Give me Elizabeth Taylor from Cleopatra.
Well, Richard Burton. She had you
well,
told
I know,
me.
I know.
Richard
I know.
Burton.
She. I mean, I, first can, time I've read the book, but I want Elizabeth Taylor in the '60s, not the '80s.
Okay, but the first time you called me when I hung up, you said I don't even know who Elizabeth Taylor, but she was big stuff when Richard Burton was dating her.
That was kind of a joke.
So funny. You're so funny.
Okay, I grew up.
It's a joke. You're funny.
In the era of Elizabeth Taylor, and she. For those
but
of you,
you
who don't know who we're
and
talking
I digress.
About. In the 60s, was she not the number one sex symbol in the world?
I know. I call the Paul Feinbaum Show and an episode of Dating Game comes out.
Okay,
now,
well.
Broke out. But you didn't – did you hear that the guy he wanted to fix you up with, she's heavy. She's a little heavy.
Well, so what?
I'm crying here. And then she says she's a heavy smoker.
I didn't hear that. She's a heavy smoker.
I know you didn't.
Oh, my goodness.
A heavy smoker. That's where I think, get her phone number, give it to Randy, and he can have a field day with that. I'm going to buy Randy a pineapple pizza pie sometime. I love the guy. But I hear he's not answering the calls right now. He's a cameraman? What's up with that? Anyway.
Hold on. First of all, he's not a cameraman.
What
is your title?
You're a
technical engineer.
Okay, the
he's a
call
senior
screener.
Studio operator. I mean, come on.
Okay,
I mean,
Randy
that's
knows.
Okay.
That's
I mean,
okay.
What did you do? Were you an anchor?
I was an anchor of TV sports in Lima, Ohio, Lexington, Kentucky, and Orlando, Florida.
Wonderful.
Sports the last 4 years on the CBS affiliate. Real quick.
Well, you should know better
Kentucky
than to
fan.
Call a guy a cameraman. That's like calling.
No, because that's what the call screener told me.
Well,
Randy
that's like calling
always takes
a
my calls.
Flight attendant a stewardess.
But he said he's a cameraman now. I said, where's Randy? He always answers my phone. He's a
you're
cameraman.
A senior
that's what?
What
your call screener said. That's what
you're
your call
senior
screener
studio.
Said.
That's like iMan is a heating guy, and he's like a heating and air engineer specialist.
Oh, don't get me started about I-Man. He called me out when I called and said I was a 14-time caller, 15th now. He said, I did the computer. I'll get a calculator on here. You know, I've called for 25 years. I've called 5,300 times. That's I-Man. I have no respect for him. But anyway, I love the other Alabama guy. Anyway, but real quick. Z is back. Great God Almighty, Z is back. I'm a Kentucky fan, the 7-2 guy. I'm loving him. And, yeah, the other guy, the Kentucky guy, or the Alabama guy, I love him. Yeah, legend. He's the guy I like.
Right.
Okay.
So, Kay, tell me this. You're retired. What do you do in your retirement?
I do what I want to do. Early retirement, I did TV for 21 years, and after that, I worked for a major resort company in Orlando in the corporate office. And
major resort in Orlando. That sounds familiar.
Yeah, a big one. And then the COVID shut everything down. They asked me back 3 months later, and I said, hey, I appreciate you, but I worked all my life, so I'm done.
Major
anyway,
resort company in Orlando, what could
day.
That be?
I
you
don't
Universal, wanna. You got Disney.
No, it's Westgate Resorts. It was
Westgate,
a big timesharing company. We got like 20 resorts nationwide.
I've heard of Westgate.
I was there 24 years. Westgate,
good for you.
Yeah. We got 9 resorts in Orlando.
That's
we got
okay.
them all over the country.
No matter what you do in your whatever happens, I still can't get over the fact that you blew off Elizabeth Taylor.
I didn't blow her off. It's just I had work to do. I had a telethon, a 19-hour telethon for the people, the kids in the hospital.
Right.
I had bigger fish to fry. Come on, you can't fault me for that, Paul.
Okay, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm going to check this out because I really don't know. Elizabeth Taylor
she actually gave a trophy at Keeneland that day, and I was there. And when I just happened to be at the restaurant, her entourage came in, and my friend from work's mother organized the entourage.
In 85,
that's why they invited
Liz
me to
Taylor
it.
would have been 53 years old.
She was beautiful.
Yeah,
she was
okay
absolutely gorgeous. She was stunning.
Easy for me to say.
4'11".
I didn't realize she was 4'11".
But that's a bar bet. Well, yeah. Everybody knows now because you have a big, highly rated show. But I've won bar bets on that. But anyway, it is what it is.
By the way, she was not married in 85.
I don't think she was. That was probably
before
the Warner.
She married
Before
Warner. She divorced Warner in 82. She was married to a U.S. senator from Virginia. And she was unmarried from 82 to 91 when she married Larry Fortensky. Not exactly her best husband.
Oh, that guy. She was a bodyguard. Wasn't he the
was
bodyguard?
He was like a clown. I mean, Elizabeth Taylor
clown.
Was her first husband was Conrad Hilton. Have you ever heard of him?
Oh, yeah, of course.
He's a guy that started the Hilton Hotel.
I have, but your viewers haven't.
Then she was married to Mike Todd, who was a famous director. Eddie Fisher, who was an actor.
Eddie Fisher, that was back in the 50s, yeah.
And then she dumped
60s,
him
yeah.
for... Eddie Fisher was married
Richard
to
Burton.
Wasn't Eddie Fisher married to an actress at the time?
But I think she dumped him for Richard Burton, right?
Yeah, she dumped him, and then she married Burton about 3 times, and... And then the senator.
Gosh, we're doing a synopsis. You gave me a lot of time, but I'm just trying to talk about Kentucky basketball. You keep bringing up Liz Taylor. I'm good. I'll talk more about Kentucky next time I call.
We look forward to that. Special K, who almost dated. What is your best almost story? I almost was a millionaire. You know, if I had only known, I was almost. This and I was almost. You could do that. That's a bar game, isn't it? Drinking game. This guy is stuck on. I almost dated Elizabeth Taylor at 53. How long did you date Miss North Carolina?
About 6 months.
You dated her for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
What was her title before Miss North Carolina?
Well, she was Miss Forsyth County.
Okay. Well, that's great. Congratulations. You dated Miss North Carolina. Can you imagine? You think the former Miss North Carolina is telling her kids, I dated Randy, the famous guy on the Feinbaum show.
I doubt it.
You think she, where is she now?
Still in Winston-Salem.
How do you like me now, Miss North Carolina? Look at me. I'm on the Feinbaum show, and you're stuck there with, you know, an insurance executive. We'll be right back with our tobacco guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the heir to the RJR fortune. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome you back, and Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. Special K just called in. Anybody that'd rather do a 19-hour marathon instead of going out with Elizabeth Taylor, I think they have some problems. What do you think, Paul?
Well, especially when – what are we talking about now, 39 years ago?
Exactly.
Well, you're now, still talking about an almost date 39 years ago?
Well, you might want to have a 19-hour marathon with Elizabeth Taylor, but don't have it without her. I just don't get that at all. I'd never turn something like that down. That's one that I don't
like.
Listen,
it's one thing if you say, and I used to tell this story, but I'm not going to. I almost got a chance to be with Elvis.
Bring up Elvis. Let me tell you something about Elvis since you brought that up. My dad was a fireman in Mobile, Alabama. And when Elvis used to play down here, my last name is Presley, but we spell it with two S's.
Oh, wow.
And he got to be the guard at, they have firemen down there and his dressing room and all. My mom got to meet him a couple of times and still has his autographs.
That is cool.
I want to say something else, too. Dwayne needs to understand also that Mobile, Alabama is the birthplace of Mardi Gras, not Louisiana,
sure
like
is.
You said. So he, sir?
I said it, sure. And by the way, you think about it. I saw a guy on TV there that he has a book called Flukes, where I think the big thing was somebody part of the Oppenheimer group apparently he had been to Japan as a young person. And mm-hmm. because he had been there, they decided not to bomb that particular area and decided to go to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. But anyway.
Isn't that crazy?
Think about this,
but
though.
I do have a question.
I mean, everybody's got a story, but most of the stories are better than I almost had a date with Elizabeth Taylor. Instead, I did an 18-hour telethon for the kids.
Yeah, well, I done told you what I thought. But,
yeah.
Paul, I do have a question for you. I'm watching NFL this weekend and some of the college football lately, and I'm talking about announcers. Paul, what happened to the ability of these announcers? I don't feel like I'm in the stadium anymore. I don't feel the cold. I don't feel the wind. I don't feel the fans.
It depends on which game you're watching, but any game with Tony Romo, I would turn the sound down.
And some of them are very knowledgeable, but it's their voice and the way that they come across. It just kind of makes.
Well, you know the deal, Trey. They used to be announcers. Most of the old announcers got their start in radio.
Correct.
When you're on radio,
you felt like you were there.
First of all, you have to have a you have to be well read because you're talking, and you have to have a vocabulary. And today's announcers, I know I sound like my grandfather here, are TV announcers. So all they've ever done is primarily call the game with a monitor next to them, and they don't do the old announcers from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, they described the action. They didn't look at a TV, because you didn't have TV back then. And I think that's part of it, and I think they're all into shtick, and they're all into making sure they have a Jim Nance, a glitzy call at the end, so they'll get written up in the sports media world. And too often they do that. And I don't know. I don't pay much. I mean, they still make all these guys make a fortune. For what reason, I don't know. Are you going to watch? If Tony Romo is doing a game or not doing a game, are you going to watch the game? 50 million people watched that game the other night. Did Tony Romo and Jim Nance affect one person watching?
No.
Not a single one. But they're still making. I saw Nance a year ago. He's not sure he's going to re-sign unless he got a better deal. What's happened to the media?
With their hand up, you're in the transfer.
I mean, what's happened? I mean, does that really go on in this world?
Jim Nance is in the portal.
He ought to be in the portal. Mike is up next in Tallahassee. Hello, Mike.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there, Mike.
Hey, man. I want to ask you a couple of questions, man. One, I want to ask you your opinion on this year's college football season. And then I want to get into a little bit of the top 10 of college football. Well, the top 15 of the last few teams going towards the playoffs this year.
Let's start with this season. Did you think it was a good season?
I think it was kind of a great season almost until we got to the end of the season. And I listen to you a lot. You're one of my favorite guys, Paul. I really dig you deeply. But this year kind of like faded on you at the end because I know you're an Alabama guy. But sometimes you jump with Georgia. And I didn't understand this season because – Georgia's been the front runner from beginning to end. They lose that one game, and all of a sudden, you drop them all the way to six. Now, let's have a discussion with that.
No, actually, I had them fifth, but that's okay. I didn't have them fourth.
And I'm going to get to that. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
As we go to the beginning of the season, and you look at what Georgia did, and Georgia – pretty much ran the table until that last game. They lose by 3 points, and then you turn around and you want to put Georgia all the way to the back of the bus. How could Georgia possibly go to the back of the bus when they only lost by 3 points to Alabama, who already had one loss in their vocabulary, and then you beat a team that's number one by 3 points and you drop them to five or even six? And my point of the matter was, and I'm a Florida State fan. I'm a diehard fan. I'm a Seminole. Yeah, we got jerked. We got robbed. For somebody to work so hard like them kids did, for y'all to take that away from them, that's a bunch of BS, Paul. Plain and simple.
Well, Mike,
it don't matter
but
what happened.
Here's the problem, Mike, and I agree with
Hold
what
on.
You're I agree with your Hold premise, on. But as you're coming up with the top four, clearly I felt Alabama belonged because they beat Georgia. I okay. strongly believe Michigan belonged, and I thought Texas got in, and I had the same four that went. Now, the problem with Georgia was the last image of Georgia was terrible, and you can't lose sight of that they have a situation where they have a SEC championship game, and they flat out blew it. And you may not like the criticism, but that's what they did. They should have won that game. They had a better team.
Okay, I'm going to give you a prime example, Paul. Look at the Dallas Cowboys. They did the same exact thing all year long. Had a great season. Oh, this, that, and the third. Soon as somebody lose one game or they don't look so hot, y'all all jump off the bandwagon. Why is that? Why when
Well,
one
because we live in a world, Mike, where certain weekends are more important than others. And if you're in a tight market where you have to win the game, you better win the game. And in Georgia's case, they had no room for error, and they blew it. And I say they blew it because they got a bad call at the end of the first half. But the fumble at the end of the game was critical. And, you know, the Cowboys are just chokers. I mean, I don't know how you get around it. Who was the pitcher a couple of years ago? Was it Kershaw? Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else. I mean, the best pitcher in baseball, Clayton Kershaw, you can't hit the guy, and you put him in a playoff game or a World Series, and he literally throws up. That's what sports is about. That's why certain players make $25 million a year because they can, you know, why do, you know, going back in time, why do they call, why was Reggie Jackson so great? Because he hit three home runs in a World Series game. He got the title Mr. October. Why was Michael Jordan so good? LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Shaq, because they played in the moment.
Paul, let's be
it doesn't
real,
matter
Paul.
If you're you know, in pro you football, what you do in September. You better win in January.
Okay, so Florida State won. You might not like how they won, but they won, right? So how would you rob some kids that...
Well, I don't really feel like they were robbed. I felt they played in an inferior league.
Wait, Paul, listen to this.
And they had no significant wins.
Listen, Paul. Let's be fair. Come on. TCU was the team last year that was there. We can go on for years and years and prior to that. So let's don't do that. Because these kids, because their quarterback get hurt, you think that it's fair to take that away from all of NFL brothers that could have went to the league that previous year. But came back for this fight, and for them to get robbed like they got robbed.
First of all, Mike, I am not going to concede that they got robbed. They didn't get robbed.
Why didn't you? They didn't lose. So
no, well, Mike, I don't really care if they won. I don't care that. Listen, slow down. You're missing it. You're buying into this politically correct nonsense that so many people subscribe to, but. I know what Alabama did, and I don't know what Florida State did. Alabama, on the biggest day of the year, showed up and beat the biggest and baddest on the street. Florida State's biggest win of the year was against who? Can you tell me that?
All right. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to get to that in a second. What is the whole point of NCAA sports? What is the whole point of NCAA sports, Paul?
I'm not really sure what the point is.
Okay. All right. Let's go to basketball. You win in, right? What they got the tournament for, March Madness. You win and you win,
that is
right?
A tournament sport, though, Mike.
You win until you lose, right?
But so there's no rule in football that says that because there were a number of years ago, West Virginia was undefeated. They didn't play for the championship. Auburn was undefeated in 2004. They didn't get a chance, and it's just part of the game.
Okay, and what ranking?
I mean, I give Florida State credit for one thing. They're trying to get out of the league they're in. Yeah, I'll hand it to them.
What was Auburn ranking that year that they didn't make it, Paul?
Well, they were ranked number 3.
Okay, and why did they get rocked?
Well, because the teams in front of them, USC and Oklahoma, started the season 1-2 and never lost.
Okay, and who jumped in front of them?
Well, it never changed. Auburn got as close as tied for second 1 week in the poll, and that was it. Listen, Mike, I'll continue this. I appreciate your undying love for Tallahassee and for Florida State, but in the end, I'm not shedding any more tears for that group. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and let's get right back to our callers. And this one hasn't popped up here in a couple of days. Squirrel is on the horn. Hello, Squirrel.
Well, every time I call in, your leg humper gets pissed off and quits the show. So, you know, I try to limit, you know, my calls as little, as much
as possible. Appreciate
that. Earlier, you mentioned Wallace giving a speech at Alabama. When you were in high school or college, did you ever have to read the book, The Education of Little Tree?
I don't think so.
You know the story behind that?
No.
It was written by a guy named Force Carter, and he wrote four or five books. The book's banned now, by the way, and the reason being is he pretended to be a Native American. He wrote the book from the perspective of a Native American. It turns out Force Carter was actually Asa Carter. You know who Asa Carter is?
Yes.
He was Wallace's speechwriter.
Right.
And he wrote that speech. And a lot of people had to read that book when they were in school. I just wondered, you know, if you had to. You know, I know you're a big reader and all that. And, you know, if you were aware of that controversy.
Yeah, I mean, I knew a great deal about the governor read a lot about it. But I missed that one. But it was interesting.
You got to look into it. It's pretty fascinating. And that book has been banned now because of the author. And he went on the Today Show, and everybody was, you know, this is Forrest Carter, the author. And it turns out everybody was calling in from Alabama saying, that's not Forrest Carter, that's George Wallace's speechwriter. And he wrote the book that the movie The Outlaw Josie Wells was based on.
You like that movie.
That was one of his books. Yeah, okay. My favorite Western. So that was kind of a weird thing, and that was a fascinating story to me. But look, again, I apologize for running your number one.
Well, I think, Squirrel, last time you were here, you did run him off, and he has not called since.
He'll be calling back again soon. But he, you know, he gets upset for some reason, you know, when I call in. And he said that he was in a different category than me, and Jim was correct on that one. I was in the documented category, and Jim was in the undocumented category. But I'm just fascinated with a 70-something-year-old dude who has to harken back to his junior high days 60 years later. That just fascinates me, and it amuses me, and that's why I call. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Johnny, I don't think we quite finished your call, so you're back for another round.
No, I got tied up in a break a while ago, but I've been able to kind of get this whole thing right now. Earlier, we were discussing the heavy women thing, and now in my story, this woman looks like Elizabeth Taylor in the face. So I go to this single wide. I meet her on a dating site, and, you know, we're sitting in her den watching TV, and, you know, she gets a little excited. She said, I just think we ought to carry this to the bedroom. And I'm a little shocked, and I'm trying to be a good guy. And so I said, you know, maybe next time. Well, she just jumps up and starts laughing and runs down the hall. And as she gets past the axle, this thing starts tilting, and it shoots me up in the air, and I slide down the hall to the bedroom. And that woman had her way with me. And after, you know, later in the night, I text my cousin to come pull that mobile home down with a chain where I could get out of there. And a lesson for all you younger dating guys, if you ever go off to a single wide in the woods, look and make sure that thing's got tie downs on it, you'll wind up just like I did.
What a story, Johnny B. I don't know really where to go there other than to thank you for your service to single wides.
I'm all about helping people out.
And you did. And you be well. And we thank you for participating today. Man. Steve O is up next. Good afternoon.
Hi, Bob. What's cooking?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Hey, so this Bash character, did you go to Colorado and pull him out of a local dispensary or something? Where in the hell, I mean, what closet did you pull him out of? This guy's an idiot.
Okay.
Let's say we've
established that, okay?
The whole Bash Brothers thing is stupid. So, Bash, quit calling, whatever. Hey, this last guy about Florida State, I do want to bring up something to you, Paul. You know, I'm a diehard Bulldog. If Alabama would have lost the second game during the season, all right, so they would have went into Georgia with two losses, and would have beat Georgia, would Georgia have gotten the playoffs over a two-loss SEC champion, Alabama?
Yes.
See, and that's my point. I think in the future, the championship games are going to do more harm. So hear me out here. We both agree that probably the top two Big Ten, the top two SEC teams, those four teams that make the championship game are going to make the playoffs, all right? But then you have the third team in each conference, all right, that are kind of hanging by there. So the team that loses the championship game, they could get knocked out of a home playoff game or a first-round bye by the third-place team by making the championship game. So I understand it's about money, but I –
Yeah, I don't know what happened to Steve-O, but we lost him, but we got the impact. Swamp is up next.
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was talking to you about Legend and the disease that he has now. It's called nystagmitis. You know Legend has nystagmitis?
Hey, Swamp, you're still in the Swamp. I don't know what's going on with your phone, but you we can – unfortunately, we just can't hear you. That's why we had to move on the first time and the second time and probably the next time as well. Why don't we take a break? We're heading there, and he needs to put that cell phone in the portal. We are coming right back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
And we are back, and let's check in with Jamie, who is up next in Myrtle Beach. Hello, Jamie. Jamie, you there?
So much.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Taking my call.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I just want to know how in the world my Gamecocks keep getting the hardest schedule in the SEC, it seems. They play Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, back-to-back-to-back, and two of which are away games. And then you have Missouri, who has the world handed to them, it seems like.
By the way, though, you don't you're right about Alabama and all those things, but you know who is not on your schedule?
Thank God, Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, so you – You can complain all you want, but you don't play the best team in the league.
Not this year, but every year, though, Paul, we have. I want some relief.
You don't play Texas either. I'm not saying you're wrong about the schedule. It's very difficult, but you got Vanderbilt on there.
Yeah,
that's the biggest.
You're right.
That's what every SEC school wants, and then you got A&M, which is in transition. Your conference schedule is fairly difficult. You got LSU at home. These schedules are weighted, and some ended up with better schedules than others. I think that is a foregone conclusion. Thank you very much for the call. Buddy is in Montana. Hello, Buddy.
Buddy the Elk, what's your favorite color?
Still working on that after all these years.
I love
we're
you.
We're not working on this call much longer. Tracy is in North Carolina. Hello, Tracy.
Wow. Don't know if I can follow that one.
Yeah, when you start out with your phone, I had a guy try to interview me once. We were on campus, and he goes, I said, sure, I got time. He goes, your favorite color. I said, not a good opening line.
Nope, you're right. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Paul, I don't ever call in really and whine and complain. I'm a suffering Vols fan ever since they ran Fulmer out for, 12 or 14 years, something like that, until we got to Heupel.
Right.
And I'm happy now. But there's something that just, I don't know, and I don't know that I've ever heard you talk about it. I'd like to ask you about the bias against Tennessee football for the media. I know I'm a fan, but it irks me. I see so many articles of different things. A good example, did you watch the Polynesian Bowl last week?
I did not.
Okay. In that game, there's a guy named Mike Montgomery. He's a 5-star receiver that's committed to Tennessee. He won the MVP award for that game. He also, they talked about him all week long about how great he practiced and his hands and everything else, his speed and all that. Well, when they did the final, and I know recruiting numbers don't necessarily mean everything, but when they came out with the final thing over the weekend, the final recruiting numbers, he dropped to number 4. And, I mean, it just set me off. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I don't understand. It's always something against Tennessee the last few years. And I'm not going back to Peyton Manning. I understand all that back in, 98 or whatever it was. But
let me get to this, Tracy. Other than this Polynesian Bowl snub, what other snubs, what other slights has Tennessee received?
Well, without picking out or cherry-picking one or two, it's just it seems like the announcers during the games are always, I guess you'd say, biased against them. Articles that I read seem to be down on them. And, I saw an article, I think it was Thursday or Friday. I don't know if it was on 3. I don't think it was him. Somebody else. But anyway, talking about how they need offensive linemen and, they're not going to be able to make it to the playoffs because of that. And it just and I don't want to talk about referees' calls because that's not right. But it just seems like there's been so much negativity the last 2 years when Tennessee has finally turned a corner. I'm not saying they're going to win an Natty or anything, but in the next year or two. But it just seems like there's so much positive stuff going on, and everything I keep hearing on sports shows, especially some of the ESPN stuff, it just seems like there's a bias. Am I wrong? I mean, you follow it all. You're Tennessee,
it's interesting,
Brad.
Because I understand fans look at things differently than the media. But
sure.
I think for a period of time there was a tremendous negativity toward Tennessee because of Jeremy Pruitt and other situations.
Oh, absolutely.
But I sure. felt that. Last year, Tennessee could not have been praised any more than they were with the wins over Florida at home and the upset over Alabama. This year, things turned sour. I think that would be generous to say. But I can't when it comes to recruiting, though, there's a lot of bias that goes into it. I used to think some of these recruiting analysts were complete frauds. I don't think that anymore because I've gotten to know some of them, and I know they really took a lot. They really do put a lot of time in it, and expertise. But it is subjective, and you're going to get things that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I also, as somebody who grew up in Tennessee and went to school at Tennessee, I don't see it exactly that way.
Well, okay, and I appreciate that. That's why I wanted your opinion on it because I knew you would be honest about it. I got one more, just real quick one.
Okay,
what do you think about the recruiting this year with them and kind of give? I know you can't make a prediction yet, but we're not losing a bunch of players like Bama is, so they're pretty much
upset.
Tracy, I am very upbeat on the program. I think Heupel, I frankly thought they lost a game or two a year ago that they should have won. I thought they had they really were in a great spot against Alabama. They let that game get away. I'll never understand how the Florida game went south. I thought the preparation for Missouri was really poor. But overall, I thought having to live and die with Joe Milton, it wasn't all that bad.
So.
But I think Heupel is a superb play caller, and I think the health of the program is better than it's been in 15 years.
I agree. Okay. All right, buddy. Well, thanks for taking my call.
By the way, I used to get very upset when people looked at media, but I understand fans do not. I'm not a good person to judge because I've been on the other side, but I understand fans when they get mad. They're not always being objective, but they're not supposed to be. They're fans. They see things through a very. It's like politics. Everybody's always getting everybody's coverage is always biased against my guy. Sometimes it's actually true. We have another hour. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.